The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Alhamdulillah, we are into the month of Ramadan. It's a month of Allah's blessings, rahmah, and forgiveness. It is a month which is not only for fasting. It is a month which is also connected with the Quran. In the Ahadith, the month of Ramadan is described as the Rabi'ul Quran. This is the spring season for the Holy Book. It is also a month of du'as, the tradition that we have of reciting different du'as every day and night of the month of Ramadan. This is not just a cultural issue. In the ayat of Quran in Surah Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the command for the fasting and then comes with the details of the rulings about it, in between he says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي, that, O Muhammad, when my servants ask you about me, respond to them by saying, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, I am close to you. I am close to you. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِي, I respond to those who call me. And this is where, you know, even this concept of dua and its connection with the month of Ramadan has a religious significance itself. You know, therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends by saying, فَلِيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي, they should respond to me also, وَلِيُؤْمِنُ بِي, and trust me, أَلْعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشَدُونَ, so that they can be rightly guided. The du'as that we have from the Prophet of Islam and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, especially for the month of Ramadan, they basically have dual purpose. One is, of course, we learn how to communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the du'as taught to us by the Prophet and the Imams. But they also have an indirect message that it's not just sufficient to do du'a. See what you can do in order to bring about the wishes and the desires that you have. For example, there is a very famous du'a which is recited after all the prayers during the month of Ramadan, and this is from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Where it begins with the du'a, Allahumma adkhil ala ahli al-qubur al-surur. And if you look at that section of the du'a, there are actually 10 categories that the Prophet is asking us to pray for them. The first was ahli al-qubur, the people who are already passed away. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them surur, you know, peace and tranquility and happiness. And then, Allahumma aghni kulla faqir, Allahumma ashbi kulla jai', Allahumma kza kulla uriyan, Allahumma dayna kulla madin. Then, talking about the people who are with us, the second dua is, oh Allah, you know, make everyone who is poor, you know, to be self-sufficient, free from poverty. O Allah, feed everyone who is hungry. O Allah, provide decent clothing for those who don't have proper covering. And O Allah, fulfill the debts of those who are in debt. Then we go on to even more the category of the people who are even in a worse situation. Allahumma farrijan kulli makroob. Allahumma rudda kulla ghareeb, Allahumma fukka kulla asir. Where we are praying for the relief of those who are in distress. or those who are displaced and stranded away from their place, and those who are innocently in prison. And then we come to this point, Allahumma aslih kulla fasidin min umur al-muslimin, a general dua for the ummah, that Allah put everything right which is wrong among the affairs of the Muslim ummah. Allahumma shfi kulla marid, and then the dua for the people who are not feeling well, that may Allah grant them, you know, speedy and complete, you know, cure and healing, inshallah. So these are the 10, you know, categories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us to pray for them. It's only the Prophet of Allah is asking us to do that. It's only at the end. The last four, you know, statements are about ourselves, where we say, Allahumma sadda faqrana bighinaq. Allah, you know, relieve me of our poverty, because you are free from need. Allahumma ghayyir su'halina, ghayyir su'halina bi husni halik. Allah, improve our situation, make it better the way you are. Allahumma ghdi anna ad-dayn. Allah, relieve us of our debts. Wa'agnina min al-faqr, and make us free from poverty. It's interesting that poverty comes twice. Four things we are asking for ourselves. The first one was sudda faqrana bighinaq, and then at the end, wa'agnina min al-faqr. And so this is where we see that, you know, the emphasis in the du'as is also that we pray for others before we pray for ourselves. Except in one case. You will see wherever there is a dua for asking for forgiveness of sins, we start with ourselves. Where you say, Rabbana ighfir li wa li walidayya. When you are talking about istighfar, first you talk about yourself, that Allah forgive my sins and the sins of my parents and the mu'mineen on the day of Qiyamah. And so this emphasis of the dua itself, you know, is an indirect message. It's not only to pray for them, rather it is an indirect way of, you know, the Prophet saying this is a call for action. What can you do in these 10 categories of individuals, you know, to be part of this process? Yes, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who relieves people of poverty. He is the one who will, you know, relieve them of their distress. But can we become one link in that rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can we become this wasila there? And that is what we have to think about. Because according to a very beautiful conversation between Hisham bin Hakam and Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, Hisham asked him, why has fasting been made wajib? What is the reason behind it? And the sixth Imam basically responds by saying, إِنَّمَا فَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَ الصِّيَامِ لِيَسْتَوِيَ بِهِ الْغَنِيِّ وَالْفَقِيرِ. He says, you know, the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fasting wajib, one of the reasons, is that he would like to bring the rich and the poor on the same level. On the same level, in a sense, both will go through this feeling of hunger and thirst. Not that the rich have to become like poor. Of course, it could be that, you know, the poor have to become like rich. But here, yastawiya, to become equal in feeling that, you know, challenges during the month of Ramadan. Because then the Imam goes on to say that a person who is affluent, his fasting, yes, he goes through hunger and thirst, you know, by the end of the day, he is still sure there is iftar at home. You know, whereas a person who is faqir, who is poor, They go through fasting, but there is no assurance at the end of the day that they will have iftar at home. You know, and this is where the Imam then says, أَنْ يَسْتَوِيَ بَيْنَ خَلْقِهِ وَأَنْ يُذِيقَ الْغَنِيِّ مَسَّ الْجُوعِ. And so that, you know, the rich and poor on that level of feeling this challenging, the challenge of fasting will be same, and the rich will realize what it means to be hungry. And then this is where this sense of, you know, charity will come in. And so this is how even the Imam basically relates this whole phenomenon of fasting on a social level. So yes, it is primarily a spiritual issue for us in order to control our desires, but there is also a very important social dimension of fasting. And that's where we see at the end of the month of Ramadan, fitrah, the charity on the day of Eid becomes a wajib.
Dear listeners of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, you can follow this program entitled Minbar every day in the month of Ramadan. If you have any suggestion, you can send us your email at englishradio@irib.ir.
Love is everywhere, so much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran, I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan. دوما قريب ليتك دوما